Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
All right. Without further ado, you should hear the pontificating that goes on at Burt's 365 with John McMullen. Well, you know, it's not really an A. You know, you don't really be an A. I go, all right. My boy's a ship captain. And he navigates that thing really well, and it's kicking ass right now. And I enjoy watching that show. I do. There's very few shows I enjoy because I just don't think anybody says anything. But I do love Burt's 365. I'll tell you this. When they got Paul Harvey off the show and they put Xander in there as the host, Joe. Oh, well, hey, I don't mean anything. When they got Xander in there, kind of livened it up a little bit. Without further ado, our friend Big Z and the Tango.
What's up, Big Sales?
How you doing? Am I really an acquired taste?
Oh, you're definitely an acquired taste. But you're the best in the business, man. So anybody that sticks around long enough knows real quick, they learn real quick why people come here, why people listen to Big Sales for sure. Great interview, by the way, with Ice Cube, man.
Let me hang on. Hey, Stevie, how could you scream, honey, during Ice Cube? Huh?
Yeah, I was
scream.
Stevie was about to meet me, okay? And Stevie doesn't want to meet me. I was about to come over there and punt that damn dog.
I could not believe it.
You said Stevie's what, 10 pounds? I'll take that dog and punt it out the back porch.
Stevie, we love you, honey. Hey, man. Cube's all, hey, man, I'll tell you what. He didn't want to go down any roads. I was trying to get him to go down some roads, but I thought he was awesome here. But what do you make of this whole thing with LeBron and with LeBron and Stephen A. Smith?
We talked about it, but I think it's cool. I'm one of the guys. I don't know if it's possible to say this, but I gained respect for all the parties. I gained respect for LeBron because he sat down in an environment that he hasn't done before. He gave us his side, his perspective. I gained respect for Pat McAfee because obviously it's a big get. You know, anybody in our business knows how big of a get that is, whether you like LeBron or don't. And I gained respect for Stephen A. too, because everybody's entitled to their perspective. Stephen A. sees it through, this is my lens, this is my media, this is my world, you know, and you're going to come in here and I'm not going to let you do that and take it. So I thought Stephen A. was, I listened to his podcast response. I mean, I got no issue. To me, I didn't take a side. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the commentary. It's like,
I'm with you. I didn't take a side.
It's content. I mean, it's cool, but yeah, and by the way, the one thing that you said with McAfee, which was stupid. I mean, he tweeted out that thing. He tweeted out that thing like, oh, LeBron did an interview with a white guy. Now, the reason he said that, I get it. I'm with you. It was stupid. Why even give it any life? But there was like a section of the internet. There was like a section of people that wanted him to do an interview with a black podcast creator or a black host like Shannon Sharp. And they thought him going on McAfee was enough. So then McAfee's sarcastic response was, I can't believe he did it with a white guy. And I think he more believes like you. Like, what do you mean? I'm just Pat McAfee. You put a race on it, you know? But I got you.
Excuse me. What lesson have the Krauses learned about sarcasm? I thought there was like a $500,000 check that had a rug on it, that had a big number on it. Because somebody, I'm not going to tell, was sarcastic.
I'll tell you.
You understand where I'm coming from is that what you just said he was probably being I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah, but some people have different. Not everybody lives by the same rules, Sills. You know, we didn't have leeway like that to be sarcastic. McAfee does. But the story is, back in 2019, Jacob had
this guys. These guys had Tony Bruno teed up to put out one of the top
Sirius
shows on Sirius. They had a giant advertiser. Tell the story, Zander.
It was on the Dan Patrick channel on Sirius XM. It was the Tony Bruno show. And this was the first big sports show that Jacob had ever done. Jacob's been around for a while. I told you guys that. My dad started it a long time ago. It's been a lot of, you know, other types of programming outside of sports. 2019 was the first level of success that he had in sports with Tony Bruno. And this was back when the gambling companies, DraftKings, FanDuel, they were just getting involved. And the money from those guys at the time was humongous because they were trying to buy their way. They were buying market share is what they were doing. All right. And we had just struck a deal. I wasn't involved at the time. I got involved in 2020, but I know this story well, obviously, because it affected us. But we had just struck a deal with DraftKings, a $500,000 deal to sponsor the Tony Bruno Sirius show like 2 weeks prior to this. So it was the biggest deal we had ever received in our media company, the biggest sponsorship deal we've
ever
received.
This is a crazy story, guys.
And 2 weeks later, do you guys remember when the story came out of LeBron and he always read the book and it was like always on the first page or somebody, I don't know, somebody was talking about that online. So Tony Bruno referenced that and said, LeBron can't even read. He said that on the air. Somebody didn't like it at SiriusXM. They yanked the show. DraftKings yanked the sponsorship. And it literally, in a span of 3 days, we went from riding a high horse to the show was gone for good. Crazy story.
Just because he sarcastically said he can't read.
Yep.
Okay. I mean,
I
don't think
Tony Bruno is no LeBron fan. But again, I mean, he's a sports talk guy. He, you know, what are you going to like every guy now to be a sports talk guy?
Imagine that, folks. He got canceled over something that stupid.
Yeah.
That's how
It was really stupid. Like, I typically fall in the category of I like
rough. I defend that sarcasm, though.
Well, here's the thing. I like guys who are rough. I like that type of shows. And that's not for everybody, but I like being able to go out of bounds. That's why I like YouTube, because we can go wherever we want to go. Right. So I like guys like that. But, you know, Tony obviously said it and people didn't like it and they got rid of him. And we move on. We learn from it. We move on.
And here's Big Sills.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it really
signed Big Sills. I said, at least we're on YouTube. We want to have a serious XM issue.
Listen, what really happened was after that whole thing, that's when these guys started up the channel. And that's how Tony was the guy actually that introduced. Tony was the guy that actually introduced us together.
Well,
he said, you should call him.
Right. And that's what got us on YouTube. Because once that show got canceled, I was like, damn, we don't own anything. You know, we were only a product of being on SiriusXM. And that's when I said, let's get content up. Let's do YouTube. And that's when me and my dad ultimately joined up forces. And then we did Jacob. And then we've been doing it ever since. And here we are, 2025. Big Sills is right here on Jacob.
Let's see something here. Let's find out if Xander will be as sensitive as you guys were earlier in the show. So let's ask this question right out of the gate here. I'm going to go down the list because I'm not going to give you a shot to lead this because you'll take it from me here and I won't be able to finish up the deal here because you're starting to get actually a little smarter in the Big Sills ways and in the Big Sills game. So I'm going to have to start to do this here. Let's do this here. Do you believe, Xander Krause, that there will be a competition at right guard this mini camp, OTAs, and training camp on who wins that job?
100%. There's no doubt about it. You know, John brought this up this morning with Jason Kelce, and I went back and listened to it. Jason Kelce was on WIP yesterday. He kind of ripped
Tyler Steen.
Yeah, he kind of ripped him. And you know, John brought up, he's like, I don't – I'm not saying that's what the organization thinks, but maybe it is what the organization thinks. So he is going to be in a competition. I'm not so sure he's going to win it. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. He might just be one of those guys who really can't play inside well. You know, you got to put him on the outside, and he probably is a swing tackle at best if you put him on the outside. So there's going to be a competition. In fact, don't sleep on the guy we just signed, Matt Pryor, 2018 draft pick. I could see him winning it.
Tyler Steen will be playing for the St. Louis Battlehawks in 2 years. He'll be playing for the Battlehawks. All right. Do you believe that there will be a competition this offseason for tight end?
Yeah. I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, is it going to be Harrison Bryant and Kylan Granson and Grant Calcaterra? Grant Cutting Board? I don't like it. I mean, I've never been a fan of Grant Calcaterra. I like old school tight ends. I want a guy that's mean and can put a body on somebody. And that's why I've grown to like Goddard more, because I've realized that there's a market inefficiency with getting tight ends that will put a body on somebody, even at the top, even the best. So I like Goddard, but they're not going to keep Goddard. So, okay, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there.
So there's two. Let's move on. Shall we? Who is your right inside linebacker going into September? Will there be a job? Oh, no, he ain't going to play in September. He's not ready.
We don't know that yet.
Okay. So you don't know that yet. So who's going to play during the mini camps, training camps, until that guy gets back? Who's going to be prepared? So out of the skies of
Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
So will there be a competition for that position until your boy parachutes in from Mount Love of Philadelphia? Will there be a competition there? Yes or no?
No.
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 So it's, Trotter, it's no matter what, is penciled in at right inside linebacker. Who? That's not how Vic works.
Well, no, I thought you meant at the starting position. It's going to be N'Kobe Dean.
So N'Kobe's not going to participate at all in any way in OTAs, minicamp, barely be ready for training camp if he is, and there's going to be no competition at all for that right inside linebacker. When he gets back off of having a catastrophic knee injury, he's starting in your eyes.
A catastrophic knee injury.
I don't know. He did have – hey, listen. They said that kneecap was up in his thigh, and they said that thing was more gruesome than you thought it was. Hey, I hope he comes back 100%, bro. Yeah, I mean it.
Yeah, I hear you.
I never want to see a guy lose his gig over being injured, man.
Well, that's the first time he's had a knee injury.
Okay. So you don't think – okay, so let's just do that. We'll take that out. I mean, because you're in love with Kobe, N'Kobe here.
I'm not in love with anybody.
Hold on.
Is there a competition? No. The backup's going to play until the starter returns. When the starter returns, the starter goes in.
Jeremiah Trotter's not ready to be a starter in this league.
I said he's the backup. He's going to be in there until the starter's back.
You think Vic's going to start him in September?
I think N'Kobe Dean's going to start in September.
Oh, okay.
He's not going to be there for training camp, though.
Let's put that over there on the side here of maybe ready for all right. Here's another one here. Strong side linebacker. The lead dog right now is, of course, Bryce Puffinstuff. Will there be competition with all the dudes that they have signed? Uche Achis Matthias, Uchi Kuchi Kuchi, Azisi Olajuwon, Akeem Olajuwon, and Bryce Huff. Will there be a competition at strong side linebacker, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Who's it going to be? I don't even know if the guy's in the room right now.
I agree.
I mean, he might not be in the room. It might be a draft pick, but you know, as much as I told you, I like Uche as a bargain signing. I like him as a bargain player. Okay. I don't want him out there to be the starter. All right. You got Nolan Smith on one side. Who do you have on the other? Is it going to be Bryce Huff? I mean, I think Jalix Hunt would be in the mix, but like, who's going to be the default? Where are they going to start? Like, is Bryce Huff going to have the first chance to win the job? Are they going to go full rotation early and see who advances from the pack? I don't know. I have a feeling Jalix Hunt might be the guy that sells. Think about it. It all depends. If Jalix Hunt is the type of dude that's working his balls off in the offseason right now to build his body and get bigger and get into that NFL form, I think it's going to be him. If he's slower and it takes him a little bit longer to develop, then you're going to have a question there. It might not be him. He might not be ready for it yet. But based on what he did in the playoffs, if he continues that ascension, I could easily see it being Jalix Hunt. But I still think you need another guy. I mean, maybe you don't. I don't know. If you get 5 sacks from Jalix, if you get 5 from Uche, you get 4 from Ojulari. Like, do you think that's enough? Is that good enough, though?
I'm more concerned about the run than I am that.
Me too. Because
you want a Super Bowl with that mentality.
Yeah, now no one stopped that against the run.
Hey, bro, you didn't have a 14-sack guy and you won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Nolan was good against the run and Josh Sweat was good against the run, though.
Yes.
So.
Will you have a competition at strong safety?
Gotta be. Yeah, it has to be for sure. I mean, I don't like sitting around that much.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 job
openings. Wait, what? Is this a bad thing?
What? No, hang on. Let me get to it all here.
All right. Let it breathe.
Is there going to be a competition at right corner?
Yeah. Keely Ringo. I think Adoree Jackson is going to be the guy, honestly. I know people like Keely. I'm still high on Keely Ringo, but I don't know yet. I mean, I know you've seen it with Adoree. Do they want a little bit of veteran presence back there? I mean, think about your secondary right now. If Keely Ringo wins the job, Keely, Cooper, Quinion, Reed Blankenship, and Sidney Brown.
Okay.
That's young, brother.
So you would now have, with all these positions, for a defending Super Bowl champion, you got 7 job opportunities and 7 competitions that you've got to fill in this offseason, not counting your backups and who you're going to have replace Oren Burks, Isaiah Rodgers, and Fred Johnson. You think there's more question marks after this season than there even was after the meltdown year of a year ago?
Well,
there's a lot of job openings here, man.
I think this feels different because we succeeded. Like, coming off a loss, coming off a collapse, I think you look and you're like, you know, get rid of him. Let's move. Let's turn the page there. Let's try and improve that. I don't think you had that mindset when you come off a Super Bowl win. Like, when you come off a Super Bowl win, and I can acknowledge this as an Eagle fan, everybody gains like a little bit extra lure, you know, even in your mind, even mentally, even if it's 5-10%, you lose Isaiah Rodgers. If we didn't win the Super Bowl this year, would anybody have given a shit? Probably not. But because you win the Super Bowl, he swatted a pass away in the Super Bowl. Oh, we lost him. Same with Oren Burks. Same with a lot of these guys. And they get a little bit of that extra boost from winning the Super Bowl. So I think it feels different. But I don't know that you have more questions. You know, I mean, the questions of last year were different because we had the fixes. Or at least we had the guys in the room, like Fletcher Cox retired. We weren't sure that Jalen Carter, I mean, we all felt pretty good, but we weren't sure he was going to be all pro. Well, he was. We didn't know what Cam Jurgens was going to be, but we felt good about him being in the room. So it felt a lot different. Like, I don't know if you have the answers in the room outside of the bargain guys.
That's See, last year I picked Cam Jurgens to be a pro bowler, and he was. And I thought he was going to be an upgrade from Kelce, and he was. He had a 2,000-yard rusher and won a Super Bowl. Kelce, man, they were better without you. I mean, that's got to hurt a little bit here.
That hurt. I think he's a little butthurt, Kelce. I'm sensing a little butthurt coming.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I'm not like one of those dudes who's like, I don't like
you. Notice Kelce. He's being more critical.
Yeah, I've been listening to him, and I'm just like, I'm sensing a little bit of a little bit of jealousy of some sort from him. And I get it. It's natural, you know, to be the guy for 14 years. You know, only win one and then you leave and they win the second one. You know, it almost felt like he could have stuck around and maybe got
more dominating. And more dominating.
And more right. And by the way, more dominating in the offensive line. Specifically. And
had the greatest running game in the history of the Eagles.
Which is a credit to the O-line. So, Yeah, I sense that a little bit from Kelsey.
Think about this. When you talk about the greatest running performance by an offensive line in Eagle history, his name's not going to be mentioned in it.
No, it's not.
Dude, I don't know about you. When you're calling me the greatest center of all time and you tell me the greatest running season and right. the greatest – get this. The greatest O-line in Eagle history is Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mulata, and Lane Johnson.
Yep.
There's no Jason Kelsey in that conversation.
Yeah, you didn't even give him a chance to, like, let it linger a couple seasons. No. Right? I mean, he had one season and it was done.
6 months out of sight, out of mind.
I know. Well, listen, I mean, you know, that's ultimately part of the game, man. And don't be bitter about it, Jason.
Do you think there's too many job openings?
No. I do not. I think it's good turnover. I think you need turnover. I don't think you want to fall into the complacency trap of bringing everybody back. Everybody thinks they can recreate the same camaraderie with the same team. You don't need that. Bring some young guys in. Bring some hungry guys in. Bring cheap guys in. Bring expensive guys in. Do it all. I think that's what gives you the best chance. And I don't think any of the turnover that we have, while I can acknowledge, yes, there are questions. We have to see. You know, and fans are ultimately extra optimistic right now because they just won a Super Bowl. So I understand that. But I don't feel like any of the holes or any of the things that we have to replace, if you will, defense. I don't feel like any of the holes that we have to fix are that crazy. You know, I really don't. Like, I know Milton was great, but let's be real. He wasn't even the best defensive tackle on his own team.
Was he great?
He was good. He was good.
How about really good?
He wasn't great? Really good.
How about that? No, I think he was. I think he was really good. Do I think he was great?
No. What about Josh Sweat?
I thought he was really good.
I didn't even know if he was really good. I was
on. He was great in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but like, what does that mean?
No, but what's the like, look? I think there's what there's horrible, there's bad, there's decent, there's really good, and then there's great. Do I think anybody you lost this year was really great? No. I think they were really good, but I wouldn't go, I don't know. I mean, really great is Jalen Carter. That's really great.
Yeah.
You know really good is? Really good is Josh Sweat. I mean.
I don't know. I think really good is Milton Williams and good.
I think you underplay his performance this past season. I really do. Guy had 700 snaps. The guy's had 40 sacks in 5 years for you. He's played really, I mean, the last 3 years, he's got you 27 sacks. I don't know how that's bad to you.
I didn't say it was bad.
I think that's pretty exceptional,
it's
actually.
It's certainly not irreplaceable.
You think there's a guy in your team that's going to get you in the next 3 years 30 sacks?
I didn't say that. I said okay. I didn't think Josh Sweat was irreplaceable last year. Maybe that to you is downplaying his season, but I never viewed him as that type of a player. I don't think ultimately he ever turned into that guy. When I think of those guys at edge – I think of very rarefied air. There's three or four of them in the league, I mean, that are like that. There's TJ Watt. There's Michael Parsons. I would get more than that. There's six or seven, maybe eight or nine. But, you know, Watt, Parsons, Crosby, yeah. Garrett, you know, those guys. I don't even think he's in the ballpark of those guys.
You look at Josh Sweat and Milton Williams as overachievers, not really exceptional guys.
Yeah, I don't want to clump Milton in there. I think Milton.
Well, they did overachieve.
Milton is still ascending. Like, I don't know if Josh Sweat is still ascending. I think he's probably at his peak or maybe on the other side.
He's who he is.
Yeah, he's who he is. So I like Sweat, but I'm not tripping. I'm not like, hey, we're screwed without Josh Sweat. If he likes the replacement Coochie better than Sweat.
Joshua Coochie. Do you?
No, I just said I don't want him in a starting role. Senor, open your fucking ears, dude. I mean, I got a headache all day. Now I got to deal with this dumbass question from you.
Hey.
Senor's had more dumb comments this week than ever. Senor, what got into your breakfast this week, dude? I mean, it's brutal.
How come when
I literally hear 4 minutes ago just said I like Uche but don't want him to be a starter?
How come when I hear it and I do it, it's a different feeling for me, too. I understand now where you're coming from. Hey. I heard your draft guy today. He's really good.
Yeah, Saratel. I love him. He's a good dude.
I am. You know what? Maybe start to think some of these Ohio State guys are going to be the next guys in the building. Because why? This guy likes recruiting champions, culture, college culture. He hangs out. So he hangs out in those buildings. I'm talking Howie. Would it shock you if one of these Ohio State, Josh Simmons or Donovan Jackson or that Michael Williams kid, Kel Williams, that edge rusher end up in Philly because they just win a national title, they're well-coached, they're in a great program, they're in a winning environment. Doesn't that sound like somewhere he likes to go? I mean, to me, you know what Howie has done? Instead of Howie trying to find one of those hidden lakes to find out if there's bass in it, he goes to the places where he knows there's bass in it so that he could throw his pond, or his fishing pole in there, and he's going to get him a nice big old bass.
He ain't going fishing anymore.
Yeah. My grandpa was, absolutely.
All right. So you like going fish. Do you ever fish out there in Cali?
Oh, absolutely. What are you going to go fish for? Guppies? California? I mean, what?
Just answer.
Lake Woke?
You live next to the fucking Pacific Ocean, guy.
Yeah, all I know is this, man. If you go fishing out here, man, you got to make sure you turn it into Gavin Newsom and make sure the fishing pole ain't anything to do with against the environment or something, so that most likely I have to fish with a Q-tip.
What are you asking for sympathy? Those are your decisions, my friend. Cilio would give himself a 5-digit raise just by moving states because his tax burden and the price of strawberries would go down, by 80%. He'd be giving himself a massive raise. I've been telling him this for 4 years.
No doubt about it, man. Let me give you these 10 dudes here. And I think he's gonna hang out. Actually, 11. He's gonna hang out in this area here. You see that guy Mike Green's falling, don't you? That guy this morning didn't even mention him.
No, he didn't. He mentioned him a little bit, but yeah, it's muddy. It's a muddy situation. And I'll tell you what, I was thinking about that after our conversation yesterday. I don't like that situation.
I know.
I do not like no.
My wife heard it too. She's like, why?
No information, no charges, nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. Like, you can barely even get information on the incidents.
There's not even a report on it.
It's funny. It's weird. All right? I'm sorry. I don't like it, man. I don't like it.
Can I tell you kind of a story for me that kind of that reminds me of?
Yeah.
So listen to this. So this, I'm going to tie this in. This is going to be crazy. Because this guy was at Virginia. He ended up transferring to Marshall. And it was after the fact they suspended him. He was already on his way to Marshall. So listen to this, Andrew. So I'm working on a contract with behind the scenes with Joe Bell in Miami and WQAM.
Okay.
For like $300,000. $150,000 more than what I was making in Tampa. I had told people I'm not resigning this contract. I happened to say something on the air. They came in, and when they found out that I was leaving, that's what they did, because I was leaving. Don't you find it funny, Xander, that 3 days later, I had a job in Miami because I had signed a contract already.
Right.
I was gone, but they were so butthurt. That, to me, reminds me of this Virginia situation where because they had thrown this at him, he goes, I'm out of here. Then they piled on him. And then they created this. And I'm with you. I really feel for the kid. I'm telling you, I'm full more and more, man. If that kid's down there at 32, he's a super looking kid, man.
I need more information. I would not rule him out, though, based on what I know right now. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I would. He wouldn't even be impacted unless I learned more. I would say it's of no impact. I would obviously want to have a meeting with the guy, make sure the guy's got a good head on his shoulders, make sure he's not, like that. But those are all things you do anyway, But I'm not knocking a guy in his career for something like that. I don't think it's right. That's not the country we live in. I don't think that's fair. I think that's bullshit, actually.
What do you think of Shamar Stewart, the kid from A&M?
Out.
Why out?
He's probably the number one guy in the draft. For me personally, that I'm going downhill on. Everybody else I'm starting to like more. I don't like 4.5 sacks in your entire college career. And now because you ran fast and jumped high, people are like, the athleticism. Dude, you played at Texas A&M. You had good guys around you. You had 4.5 sacks in 3 years?
That's horrible.
Now, unless you're a nose tackle and you're Jordan Davis, which you're not, that's ridiculous. So
now you see my criticism of Jordan Davis coming out. He had 9 sacks in 3 years. I had a problem with that.
Yeah, but even that's different because we knew we drafted a nose tackle. That's what he was.
Okay.
That's what Jordan Davis was. Shamar Stewart is like a tweener edge defensive tackle guy.
Yeah, right.
So if you're going to line him up on the outside, you got to get production. You got to get home. If he can't do that, and then on the other side of it, James Pierce for me is going up crazy. And by the way, every time I freaking do research on James Pierce, every time I watch a highlight clip, every time I do anything, all I see is that ugly-ass Tennessee fucking jersey. And it drives me crazy. It's like you scouting a Gator kid. I'm grossed out by that Tennessee color. But he looks damn good, and he was productive on the football field.
Folks, are you listening to Xander Krause right now? You know what he's telling you? He's a tape guy. You're a tape guy. You want to see the tape. You don't give a shit about a guy at Gold's Gym. Some of these guys are dudes at Gold's Gym. I don't care how you look in a shirt. I care how you look in pads.
I agree. Okay? Completely. I mean, that's more important. I agree. Like, did you see the tackle? Who is it? The offensive lineman. I'm blanking on his name. Shit, where did he come? Where was that guy? Will Campbell, is it?
Yeah, from LSU.
Yes. So this dude's one of the best tackles in college football, all right, for multiple years. He's ranked up on many people's boards, and then he goes to the combine, and he's got short arms. And now people are like, oh, this guy can't play tackle. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't matter because you can look at numbers and you can look at like, okay, what percentage of guys are successful in the league that don't have this metric? I think that's a fair way to look at it. But at the end of the day, the guy's got game tape as a great tackle. Now, maybe it knocks him a couple of spots, but the guy can't play football because of it. I mean, so that drives me crazy. But, you know, that's a big part of where we are in the world. You know, I'm reading this book. You'd hate this stupid book I'm reading. It's football. It's called Football is a Numbers Game. All right. And it's good because it gives you a lot of info about football, but it shows you how the league has changed to embrace all of these metrics. And even for people like you and even me to a lesser degree who don't like that stuff, it's inevitable and it's happening, you know, and for all the people who say, oh, fuck PFF, all 32 teams in the NFL use PFF, every single one of them. In fact, the touchdown that Zach Ertz had in the Super Bowl 52, okay, where we beat the New England Patriots, that was a PFF freaking play call.
Huh.
And it was discovered in the week leading up to the Super Bowl when Doug Peterson got Mike Groh and got the whole offensive staff and said, I want you to scour and find me any plays you think can be an advantage before we get together our final play sheet. That play was discovered that the Patriots struggled with two receivers and a tight end on one side. They ran the same formation, got Zach Ertz over the middle, and got a touchdown.
More analytics. So,
right. I don't love it either. I'm just saying, even if you don't like it, it's a part of it. It's become a part of this sport. So how can you look at it and get a lot out of it? I don't know. But
last year you won the Super Bowl with anti-analytics. And I'll tell you why. The common sense would be because you had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts and Dallas Goedert and the pass and that offensive line would have been to throw the ball more. Instead, you went the opposite way off the analytics and created an analytics chart running the ball.
Right.
All the things that you built that team around, you basically trashed and built new analytics with a whole different mindset on how you built that team. Howie didn't build that team, dude, to run the ball 400 times. Yeah, he built that team to throw the ball or at least with more balance. Do you not agree?
I 100% agree. And the funniest part about that response by you is it shows you which is more important, right? Because as much as I say analytics have become a part of this thing, listen to what Sills just said. So the Eagles just defied the analytics this year and ran their way to a Super Bowl. Well, why did they do that? Because the common sense was that the analytics drove teams so much so that their defenses have devalued stopping the run. The linebackers are small, the edge rushers are small, and everybody, based on analytics, wanted to stop the pass on defense.
So you're saying they
– the natural progression, though, right? Sills was like, all right, you put a bunch of small dudes out there. We're going to take our big dudes and run you over. That's anti-analytics.
Tell me I'm hearing you right. I think they changed that philosophy, and once they got into that philosophy of running the ball, they realized the mismatches because teams had gone away from that big linebacker and stopping the run so much. They created an analytics chart off the running that teams were not able, because how many times did we watch this past year, Xander? Nobody could stop that running game because you know why? Teams in the league had built with smaller linebackers who played in space. The Eagles didn't play in space. They played in a phone booth last year. They beat you inside the tackles, right? How many of those big runs were outside? They were up the gut.
Yeah, up the gut.
And the analytics told them, our mismatches are at the guard position on your linebackers.
Yeah. See, I think that to me is more football. That's not analytics.
That's smart.
Right. Give me the – Sills, you've been saying this for 5 years since you came on this network 5 Aprils ago. All right? Big dudes beat up little dudes. We had bigger dudes. We had bigger, better, more physical dudes. They said, let's run behind them. And then you got a great running back, obviously, in Saquon Barkley to top it off. I mean, the plan was good last year. I think now moving forward, it's going to be even more interesting because now that the Eagles have, like you said, they've charted now new analytics. And now teams will look at what the Eagles did and say, what are the analytics that we can take from this? You know, and how does that permeate across the rest of the NFL? It's going to be interesting to see because I think teams are going to stop going too undersized on all their defensive positions.
Let me put something here before I get to this last take and then. Again, any supers, we'll do it before we get Godfather on with us. Let me ask you this here. How do you think their approach is going to be this year with, and how would you build an analytics chart with this? You have 5 positions that you have to replace on defense. You've got a lot of question marks over there. There's very little question marks except for potentially improving the passing game on the offensive side. What would be your approach this offseason on how you want to attack the NFL in that schedule next year? Would it be try to get more out of the tight end position? Because the tight end position is once again, look, Xander, in my opinion, that's where the improvement is because you really don't think you're going to get much more improvement at the 2 wide receiver positions, do you?
I don't agree.
How are you going to upgrade that?
I don't agree. I'll tell you
why. Those guys are going to get their numbers.
But they didn't get their numbers in terms of what you can get. Let me ask you a question, though, all right? A.J. Brown last year, I know he missed a couple of games. All right, I know he missed. He played 13 games. Same with Devontae. Both played 13 games. He had 1,079 yards. Do you believe that A.J. Brown is better than 1,079 yards?
And that offense, no. Not when a guy's running for $2,000.
Well, we just talked about how you might have to get more out of the passing game.
Okay. So,
getting more out of the passing game, I'm saying you might as well.
Very critical of taking away from the successful part of the team.
Yeah, but if you're going to have to improve the offense this year anyway, and like you just said, do you improve the tight end? Well, fuck that. Go to the receivers more. Give me more creativity out of the receivers.
But the tight end position is a position that their high percentage passes that throw into the numbers. Anything in a short passing game creates less opportunity at turnover than you do a 15-yard pass versus a 5-yard pass.
So you're saying the tight end's more of an extension of the running game and more fits what they're trying
to do. That's what made Brady a Super Bowl champ. Brady won Super. Don't you – listen, Andy Reid and Bill Belichick went with higher percentage plays. What were they? Screens, checkdowns, tight ends. Not the big perimeter pass.
So you think 12 personnel? You think more 12 personnel observers?
Well, you don't have that ability yet until you find somebody in the building that can play that
tight end. Well, maybe one of these dudes we got at tight end is going to be a glorified blocker, and that's it. And then you have Grant Calcaterra to be your pass-catching tight end.
See, I think the Patriots and the Chiefs, they move the sticks with higher percentage, lower percentage turnover opportunity plays by throwing to tight ends. Dude, their numbers prove it. They got 9 Super Bowls between them by throwing only to tight ends. They didn't have wide receivers in any of those programs. And Andy Reid's time, even in Philly, he had okay wideouts. He had exceptional tight ends in Philly and another Hall of Famer in Kansas City. Belichick didn't have any kind of big-time wideouts he won Super Bowls with.
That's fair. Especially with this style of offense because it more fits that old-school mold.
And it gives Hurts a lesser of an opportunity at turnovers by throwing 5-yard passes.
I don't legislate that too much because I think part of the reason that, you know, Hurts became a little gun-shy throwing the ball is that he almost got a little bit too protective of that football. And it ultimately worked out. It was the perfect thing to do for this team because our running game is going so good. But if you're talking about an offense that's expanded next year, I don't want to get into a situation where we're telling Jalen, hey, don't take chances. Don't throw the ball because we want to protect the ball so much. I don't think that gets you to the
– You don't have end line. Defense yet, in my opinion, for you could take chances on right. offense. You That's had fair. It last year where you could take chances on offense, that defense. Not yet, at least until we see him play, right, the first month of the season.
That's fair.
We didn't even know yet at the first month of the season last year.
I get what you're saying.
Do you finally hear? Do you agree? This is how the draft looks right now. This is how I see the draft when it comes to how I rank the position groups. I got edge 1. I got interior defensive tackle 2. I got tight ends 3. I got running backs 4. I got OTs 5. It's one of the worst groups of wideouts I've ever seen. It's 6.
The wideouts are brutal. I'm not in love with any of them.
I think there's only one going in the top 32 this year.
Really? Who do you got?
Golden? The kid from Arizona.
Ted Tetoa? McMullen or whatever it is? Yeah.
Ted McMullen or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Cornerback 7 and interior O lineman 8.
Ed? Whoa.
What?
O-line's low, but you're right. It's not a great O-line class.
Remember I told you because of COVID a couple of years ago, a lot of those kids use that 6th year. That's why you had a big group the last couple of years. So edge, interior D-line is 2nd, D-tackles. I got tight ends 3rd. I got running backs 4th. It's a better class than I thought. I don't think there's a lot of first-round guys. I think there's probably one. And by the way, I heard that guy. He had the same take I did. That dude, Janiti guy, I mean, he's running against Northern Wichita State and places like that for 350 yards. He plays against Penn State. He gets destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just don't see big-time competition that guy. You know what he looks like? Donnell Pumphrey.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That kind of guy, when he was at San Diego State, you're playing against what? Utah State?
I was watching freaking Tyler Warren today, dude.
He's a great-looking prospect.
That kid can fucking play, man. That is my kind of tight end.
Would you ever trade up for him?
I would, but I don't think that they're in a position to spend those type of assets on the offensive side of the ball right now. I don't. And I don't think they want to. You know, I think he's that good of a player, and I would consider it if it was plausible. But he might go top 15, dude.
Yeah, he's going to go top 50.
I mean, we had Rick Saratello on this morning. He had 3 blue chips in the whole draft. 3 blue chips. And he said after 10, it's a drop-off. Yes. Drop-off between 10 and, you know, from 10
Remember,
to 15.
I said 15. I said yeah. 15 and down. And
his was a little less. Yes. So he had
a – I don't think it's a good draft. I don't think there's impact guys in the draft. I see –
Be there at 32. He won't even be there at 20, brother. He won't even be there at 20.
Get this. I saw 5 guys. What did he say? How many guys did he think he saw where he saw impact guys?
So his was a little different. He said, like, true blue chips, he had 3.
Okay.
And you're ready? He had Shedeur Sanders above Cam Ward. He had Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Tyler Warren, and for a QB, he likes Shedeur Sanders the best. He thinks he's got the it factor, has everything you need, a good pro-style quarterback. He thinks he's going to be perfect. He's going to be great in the NFL. I happen to agree with him. I've been trying to tell Johnny Mack I like Shedeur Sanders for 3 weeks now. Johnny Mack is just like, ah, he stinks. I don't like him.
I don't believe he stinks. I just, my problem with him is that everything has been carved out for him. You know, what did he make? His dad carved out the environment.
What is that, bro?
Okay, well, if you go to a shitty coach and a shitty program, and that guy is worried about his job and not you, and not caring about you and carving out a, hey, dude, it's one thing to have somebody completely make your path and help your path than versus going to a place when you go to the pros where that coach is. You think Brian Daboll's going to care more about Brian Daboll's job or Shedeur Sanders' job?
No, you're right about that. I know what you're saying about that, but I don't think that takes away from the talent of the player.
No.
I get what you're saying.
I think that helps having the environment. You don't think – I think Jalen Hurts going definitely to the Philadelphia
Eagles. Yeah.
I think Jalen Hurts going to the Philadelphia Eagles versus going to the New York Jets is a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Shedeur has enough – I really think that – I don't know. I'm one of the guys that thinks that the it factor, which is some of the intangible stuff, matters more than draft nicks and scout and tape watchers and, you know, PFF guys and analytics. I'm infatuated by the it factor, by a guy who's unwavering, unflappable, who has confidence in himself, who can handle critics, all right, who hears critics all day and it doesn't get to him. It doesn't bother them. I when I see Shedeur Sanders, I see that his father in him with that. And I think he's going to be built to handle a big market in the NFL. And I don't know, man, you get a couple of things going in the right direction. I think that's the kind of guy that could change the culture of a locker room. I really do. Maybe I'm wrong. Look, if he sucks, I'll eat my crow on it. But I think the guy has a chance to be really freaking good.
Man, one thing is definitely evident now between Deion and Shedeur. They got a piece of humble pie, and I'll tell you why. A year ago, they were talking about they were going to go to select teams and we're going to pick our place. Well, reality is now NFL scouts have given them the reality check. That's not the case here, guy.
That was always dumb because the NFL is, I mean, come on, let's be real here. It's the owners' league. You're not breaching. I don't care who you are. You're not breaching the hundreds of billions of dollar shield that it's worth. You're not breaching it.
Bro, if they can live without Tom Brady and ratings go up, they can live without you. That's who they are. I mean, that league's not built like the NBA is on Michael Jordan. That league's built on the shield, and they move on from that. We have any supers before our Philly Godfather comes in? Let's read them. If not, all good, man. We appreciate you guys. Do me a favor. Please hit that like button. Thank you guys so much for coming aboard. You guys have been absolutely awesome this week. We've had a great lineup of guests this week, too, so we appreciate you guys hanging around for them.
Lane says, RO line was offensive linebackers. Yes, they were. Brian Pumper says, he paints his fingernails, Xander. I'm not buying it. Sorry, no can do, sir. Well, I'm not painting my fucking fingernails, Brian, but I could give a shit what he can do. Go out and play football and be a great. I don't give a damn. Pump. I mean, I ain't painting my nails.
Hey, Pump, you're looking at exterior things, man. If you're trying to tell, that's like telling me you don't want Dennis Rodman playing the pivot for you. And he's the greatest under 7 foot rebounder in the history of the NBA and has 5 NBA championships, 3 defensive player of the years, and he wears a dress. I don't care. I'll buy a dress for him.
Man, I don't care either.
I don't care about shit like that, man. I mean, go win me a game, Xander. You know what I'm saying? You want to do that stuff? You want to do all that bullshit? That's fine with me. I don't care. Yeah.
So Brian says, Xander, there was only one starting offensive tackle in the league with sub 32-inch arms, Alaric Jackson for the Rams. Good night. Well, that, you know what, Brian? That's actually good context because that puts a little bit more merit on something like that. But, again, I still don't like it. I mean, that dude could play, man, that tackle. That guy can play. So I have a hard time believing he's not going to be successful because his arms are short. But it does give you problems. Like if you got to go up against a guy like Josh Sweat in the NFL – you know, or those long edge. He's talking about the Will Campbell, the tackle.
Oh, Will Campbell.
Yeah.
Put him at guard then.
Yeah.
Put him at guard. If he's got short arms, put him at guard. I do think that's a problem. If you got to go against a dude, when you got some of these guys, these edge rushers, one of the things that Myles Garrett, man, he's got some insane arm reach. Reggie had an insane arm. I think that's the deal. I think tackles have to have long arms. I think if you're a short arm guy, I think that gives me a better chance to get on you a little more. So, again, to me, I mean, I'll play him inside. Put him at guard, man, if his arms are too short. I don't have – if you're good, I'll find a – how about this, Xander? If you're good, I'll find a spot for you.
Yeah, agreed. Master Chief, a few holes defense. I'm in the lab. I got to come up with some new nicknames that we can dub for the year. It's still early. We're still in March. Let's get after the draft. Let's go June, July. We'll start dubbing some nicknames for this team.
Is Bama winning the national title?
Bro. Fucking Mark Sears. Holy shit. Now, my boy Mark Sears can shoot the rock, baby.
Dude.
And Holloway, they were all cooking last night, dude. Alabama was on fire last night in that game.
Could it be Alabama-Auburn in the finals?
It could be. It could be. I tell you what, did Houston play? Are they tonight? They're in tonight, right?
Right.
I like that team, too, man. That Houston team can play. I like that Houston team.
Me, too.
I was upset Calipari got bounced last night.
Me, too. Yeah. Biggest comeback in a long time, dog. I couldn't believe it.
That Bama game was a good basketball game, man. That was a great freaking basketball
game. Duke Bama. That's what you got this weekend. Duke Bama.
Duke Bama is going to be – that's going to be a tough one, man. I don't know. I mean, that Cooper Flag kid, man, that – you know, if the Sixers get him, that kid is fucking game changer, man. Game changer. He dropped 30 last night.
Look at the
– like 18.
Look at the football programs that are in Ole Miss, Michigan State, Auburn, Michigan, Bama.
It's crazy. What is happening to college basketball?
That looks like the playoffs for the football playoffs.
Even like Arkansas in there. It's funny, man. Crazy.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Xander.
Well, one more here. Pumper ripping me again. Get off the fence, Xander. Pick the winning side. I think he's talking about LeBron. Yo, Pump. Fuck off, Pump. He's crying.
I don't know why it sounds funny when I'm not doing it, but when I'm doing it, I'm ripping away Xander when he does it, man. That's I love it.
Yeah, Sills used to tell me off the air. He used to say, when I first started doing shows, he used to say, "When are you going to be the guy off the or on the air that you are off the air?" And he's like, "I want that guy on the air." And I'm like, "I'll get there, Sills. I'll get there, Sills." Well, here we are. Now I'm ripping fucking people left.
Yeah, now, hey, now you're being you. That's where you are right now. Except when the only thing I did, man, hey, listen, do you know how much I laugh when I hear your boy? That's bullshit. Nobody does that way. And I'm like, okay, John.
Who? Nobody does what way?
You know, nobody thinks that way when it comes to the draft. I'm like, John, yes, they do, man. They think that way. When people are looking at drafting a certain guy, you have to draft inside your division first. You're not looking. The Eagles aren't drafting to beat the Lions. They're drafting to beat the Commanders and the Giants and the Cowboys. That's why they're so far ahead. You know why? Because they play them twice a year.
You know, you broke everything you're about with your Commanders predictions. I'm upset with you.
Oh, the Commanders.
He's been good 1 year in the last.
God picked them.
One year in the last 20 years. They've been okay. And so we go to the damn Super Bowl.
I wouldn't that was that like, far
you
off.
You guys are a champion organization.
I wasn't that far off. They made the NFC title game.
I don't give a shit. They're falling back to earth this year.
Oh, they're falling back to earth, but not the Swiss cheese.
Javon Kinlaw's a trash can. Laramie Tunsil might get hurt.
Not the Swiss cheese defense. Oh,
what are they going to do with Deebo Samuel? He stinks.
What are you going to do with Ringo Starr, Keely Ringo? What are you going to do with him?
I'm not worried about Keely Ringo.
Oh, you're not playing corner? Okay.
Well, we got a bunch of other dudes on that defense that are damn good. What about Quinion? What about Cooper? What about Jalen Carter? What about Nolan Smith? What about Zach Bond? What about Reed Blankenship? I mean, shut up, Sills.
Reed Blankenship? All of a sudden now he's Brian Dawkins. Holy shit.
So what is it? All pro at every position or bust?
No. How about just being
then shut the fuck
up? About just being decent.
What do you mean? They are decent.
Okay, they're decent. You were exceptional last year.
We got a lot of guys who are still exceptional. I just named about six of them.
Nolan Smith is exceptional.
Jalen Carter is. Zach Bond is.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell was.
I'm going to tell
Cooper
you.
Cooper DeJean was.
Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean was, man. I love that
guy. Yeah, exactly.
Dude. And I think that guy could score 28
who's
right now.
For the Super Bowl in the early Big Sills March 28 thoughts?
Huh.
The Philadelphia Eagles, right?
No.
You sound like John McMullen. Well, if you're an odds guy, there's a 15% chance because only 9 teams have repeated, and the Eagles will not repeat for that reason. I don't give a shit.
Hold on. Buffalo versus
the Eagles. They're by and far the best team in the NFC.
The Rams.
Stop. I like them, but they're not winning.
Buffalo Rams.
You don't have to stick to that. I just made you.
I'm not. I've been fighting right. That
I just made you know, fly. And you, the Rams. You change that. You reserve
the Rams. I would say, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm gonna probably definitely. I'm gonna see what they do. I gotta. I'll make that prediction in September.
Yeah. Yo, Jay Brown is a certified hater, but I'll tell you what, he's right about this. Celio can't let his Bills go. He can't let his Bills go. He just wants Joshy Poo to win it so bad.
I want the best quarterback in the NFL to win the Super Bowl.
I like him, but why can't he do it? You got to get the job done, Sills.
Hey, good stuff this week, dude. Keep it up, man. You guys are killing it over there on Birds 365, man.
Thanks, great brother. Stuff, good Big Z.
Thank you, bro.
All right, man. Thank you, Sills.
You got it, man. That's my friend, Xander Krause. All right.